Gracious Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have this morning for our sermon thoughts a faith lesson. The faith lesson is from the Virgin Mary, and our text is Luke 1, 38 to 45. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now, this text probably in the liturgical year should have been preached before December 25th, the day on which we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. But because of the great lesson that's in it, I think it's appropriate for us today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not just seek Him, diligently seek Him. One of the things that comes to mind in this quoting of the Hebrews 11 text is that there are many people who believe in God, but that's not a big thing because the devils believe and tremble. We have to believe in God to the point of making an absolute commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, man is required to live by faith because God does not always fully explain what He's doing. Mary became impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and God had spoken about that 700 years before it happened. But no one expected it to happen the way it happened. So what we have to do is exercise faith in God. We have to believe what God says. God said over 2,000 years ago now, just a little bit over 2,000 years ago, that He was going to come back again. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, you ought to live like you believe it. And if you don't believe it, that's another thing. But if you believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do, we ought to live constantly in fear of God and in anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and especially those who heavily emphasize evangelism, very little is said about Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible doesn't have an awful lot to say about Mary, but it does have some things to say about her. Now, I think that the reason that the evangelical churches somewhat neglect to talk about Mary is because of the abuse of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has elevated Mary to an idol. They pray to her, they light candles at her feet, and they have lifted her up to co-redemptrix with Christ. Well, I hope to show you today that that's foolishness. Now, faith in serving God is putting into practice that which you say you believe. Mary was obviously a believer. The angel came to her and told her that she was going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Well, it isn't much to say that you're going to do something that you don't do. If you say you believe it, you ought to act like you believe it. Now, one of the dilemmas of pastoring a church, and one of the constant plagues to the pastor, is that it seems like most of the people that he preached to don't get it. It seems that way. And why does it seem that way? Well, it seems that way when we see 7 people in a Bible study. We see a handful of people in Sunday school. We see Wednesday night Bible study has a bunch of empty seats. Obviously, the members of the church don't get it. Obviously. Now, this isn't just my problem. I know a lot of pastors, and I talk to a lot of pastors, and it's the same thing. I don't know if I shared this with you before, but I was told a couple of weeks ago of a church of 400 members. 400 members. They have about 15 people out to Bible study and prayer out of 400 members. So obviously, the people aren't getting it. Now, what happened here is that the Old Testament prophets prophesied about what was going to happen to Mary between 700 and 800 years before it happened. The prophet was sent to Ahaz. This is Isaiah, was sent to Ahaz, the son of Jotham, who was one of the wicked kings in Judah, to tell him that the league that was made between Ephraim and Syria wasn't going to work. They were going to combine their forces to fight against Judah, but it would come to naught. They would not prevail because God had determined that it was not time for Judah to fall, and they were not the instruments that God would use to cause Judah to fall. The prophet told Ahaz, ask for a sign. Now, Ahaz was a very ungodly man, and what he said is, I'm not going to test God. Well, he refused to ask for a sign to acknowledge what God said he was going to do. Now, what was happening here is that God was getting ready to confirm his word through the prophet Isaiah to this ungodly king Ahaz, and if Ahaz had asked for a sign, any sign, God would have given it to him. Oh, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Well, since you won't ask for a sign, God is going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, here again, I think many people really don't get it. Emmanuel means God with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, that was to become the God-man, because a father cannot beget anything essentially less than himself. Hallelujah. Now, in the light of the New Testament, we know that what Isaiah said referred to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary is mentioned by name in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not mention Mary by name. He refers to her as the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the mother of Jesus. She is mentioned outside of the gospel accounts only once in Luke, in Acts. Luke mentions her in Acts 1:14. But other than that, she's not mentioned in the New Testament. But the lesson we should learn today from the life of this young Jewish girl who was about maybe 15, 16 years old, what we should learn from her is that God confirms His word to those who put their faith and trust in Him. God confirms His word to those who put their faith and trust in Him. When we started Mount Carmel Church, there were a number of preachers who took the liberty of giving me some advice. Well, I'm not opposed to advice, but some of the advice that I got from preachers just wasn't on center biblically. So what you do when you get some advice is you hold that advice up to the scriptures. One piece of advice I got from a minister who had been ministering for a long time, in fact, he was getting ready to retire, he said, "Bob, if you want to be successful, you got to give the people what they want." Well, I didn't take to that. because what people should want and what the preachers today are giving them is not consistent with the Word of God. The megachurch movement and the emerging church movement, these movements are going on right now. They're not honoring to God. These are movements that glorify man instead of glorifying Almighty God. God is to be glorified, and my preaching here is to be to that end, whether there's anybody here or not. Now, to put this message another way, God will confirm or give you assurance in your heart if you put your faith and trust in Him. I was advised when we started this ministry about fundraising, how to go about fundraising so that we would have enough money to meet our obligations. And I thought, that's not what God says. And in the time that we have been together as a church, to my knowledge, and I've been a pastor all of these years, we have never had a fundraiser. And we have never allowed any buying or selling in this church. God says, if you do it my way, I'll bless you. And God has blessed us. Hallelujah. He's confirmed His word. God says to you, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. But if you tithe, I'm going to fill your barns up with plenty. You're going to have an abundance of everything if you do what I tell you to do. How many people really believe that? Well, there's some people in here who don't believe it, obviously. But maybe the Spirit of God will convict you sooner or later. Now, one of the largest problems that pastors face is getting members of the flock, over which God has appointed them steward, to really come to grips with what the Word of God says and what's being preached. Now, I know that this is a joyous time of the year, and I don't mean to badger you, but I do, you know, my heart is heavy when it comes to ministering to people who just don't seem to get it. And I don't know what else I can do, to help you to get it. The Bible says, you must be born again. Now, when it says you must be born again, it's not just talking to old folks. It's talking to everybody. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God if you're going to see the kingdom of God, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. No way. So, you have to come to grips with your eternal estate. And the only way that you can deal with your eternal estate is through a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether you're getting that or not, but I don't know any other, I can't think of a plainer way to put it. The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible says you must humbly submit to the authority of the Scriptures, and if you do that, you are humbly submitting to the authority of Almighty God. Because the Scriptures are God-breathed, all of them. They're God-breathed. Now, we should not allow circumstances to get in the way of our obedience to God. Mary was a young woman, a young virgin, who was espoused to a carpenter. Now, she wasn't of royalty. She wasn't of a rich family. She was a poor family. And she was espoused to a carpenter. Now, the Jewish espousal is the same as a marriage. So, she was the wife of Joseph because they were espoused to each other. They were given to each other. They were engaged, what we would call engaged. Now, the problem that Mary had was that if she came up pregnant before she and her espoused husband came together, she had committed fornication or adultery. And the penalty, hear me, beloved, hear me now. The penalty for that was death by stoning. We take it light today. We think it's okay because I feel like it, I ought to do it. Well, what does God say about that? God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, and God says, this is the will of God that ye abstain from sexual immorality. This is the will of God. That's what the Bible says. Now, Joseph, when he found out that Mary was with child, was thinking to put her away. But he wanted to do it privately so that she wouldn't suffer the penalty that the law required. And while he was thinking about this, the angel came to him and told him what was happening. Not only did he tell him that Mary was having a child by the Holy Spirit, he told him that he was to call the child's name Emmanuel. Emmanuel being interpreted means God with us. Now, Mary had to deal with all of this between the time the angel said to her what was going to happen and her submitting to the angel. Now, obviously, Mary knew the Old Testament very well, because if you read the Magnificat, you see there that it's almost wholly related to the Old Testament. Almost every verse in it or every phrase in it comes from the Old Testament. So Mary knew the Scriptures, and she knew what possibly might happen to her. But it is my conviction that Mary knew the sovereignty of God. She knew the God that she served. She knew that He was all-powerful. And she knew that even if she submitted to God in this thing that might, from a physical perspective, cause her life to be taken, she was obligated to obey rather than give vent to the physical consequences of obeying God. Now, beloved, you go out on your job, your workplace, or in your home, and you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and try to get your loved ones and relatives to come to grips with the eternal estate of their souls, and they hate you. And they talk about you. And they say all kinds of things about you behind your back. And sometimes to your face. But what are we supposed to do? The Word of God says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit was working prior to the Annunciation. And the evidence that Mary was a virgin is very clear in the Bible from the Old Testament and the New. She was a young woman who prayed and was familiar with the Scriptures. Beloved, Mary was familiar with the Scriptures. You ought to be familiar with the Scriptures. I'm not going to go off on this tangent here, but I just will mention this to you one more time. You ought to be prepared to come to worship. because the sermon title and text is pre-published in this church. So you ought to prepare to come to worship, and you ought to know the scriptures. You ought to know what you can and cannot do to honor God in your living, in your day-to-day living. The Lord willing, in this coming, next coming June, I'm going to participate in a Sovereignty of God conference, and I've been asked to speak on ethics. Well, there's a whole lot that the Bible has to say about ethics, but it comes down to a simple statement in God's Word. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the essence of ethics. If you want people to treat you nice, treat them nice. You don't want anybody hollering at you, don't holler at them. You don't want anybody cursing you out, don't curse at them. Very simple. There's a whole lot more to it than that. That's just a nutshell. Now, Mary's answer to the angel teaches us how to humbly submit to God. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, this is another way of saying, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. What I want don't matter. What does God want for me? What does God want from me? What would God have me do? That's where it's at. And you should ask yourself that constantly. What would God have me do about this, especially in the marriage relationships? When the quarrels come up, you know, the husband knows how to push the wife's buttons, and the wife knows how to push the husband's buttons. But what you should say is, what does God want me to do in this case? And if we would approach our problems that way, many of them would dissolve, because most of the marriage problems are not that serious in the first place. They just get serious as time goes on and as the voices elevate and as the insults come. You know, that's when they get serious, but they're not really that serious in the first place. Now, Mary believed God, and God was getting ready to confirm his word to her. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham didn't have any idea where God was sending him, where he was going to go. He just knew that God told him to get up and go. Okay, Lord, if that's your will, I'm gone. Now, by grace we are saved through faith, the Lord willing. I want to speak to that issue tonight. Righteousness with God is not because of man's goodness. All men and women are filthy sinners. We go astray from the womb as soon as we be born, speaking lies. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That text does not mean that the act of conception was sinful, but the thing conceived was sinful. Now, we have in your outline today, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary came to meet her and greeted her. There's only one indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are many fillings with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled the 120 who were in the upper room, as recorded in Acts, to preach the gospel. They were filled to preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit had already indwelt them. Because if the Holy Spirit does not indwell you, you can't believe. And this is one of the confusing things that comes out of the Pentecostal movement. The Pentecostal movement thinks that your ability to speak in gibberish is evidence of your the Holy Spirit being upon you or in you. Well, that's really not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that no one can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And once you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it's permanent. Isn't that great? You can't mess up your salvation. Hallelujah. We would probably find a way to do it if we could. But anyway, Gabriel told Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant in her sixth month. And in the text that we read today, it says that Mary stayed with her 3 months. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth until the baby was born. Now, after the Annunciation, Mary went with haste to visit Elizabeth. And at the greeting, when she arrived, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, this was John the Baptist. This was the baby that Gabriel told Zechariah that he was going to have, and Zechariah didn't believe him. So he said, well, you won't be able to speak until the baby's born. Now, Mary asked the angel also, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? But it wasn't the same as the attitude of Zechariah. Zechariah just didn't believe. Mary believed, but she didn't know how it was going to happen. So that was the big difference. Now, why has the mother of my Lord come to me? Elizabeth was very privileged to bear this child in her old age. In fact, she was called barren. And when Mary came, Elizabeth said, why has the mother of my Lord come to me? Now, this was not just an ordinary greeting. What Elizabeth was saying was, by the Holy Spirit, the thing conceived in Mary was her Lord. Hallelujah. Now, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word, was the answer that was given to the angel. And then Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said, why is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me? So at this time, through this filling of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth became a prophetess. She prophesied. And what did she say? She spake with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now what Elizabeth is telling Mary is, God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He is confirming the word that the angel gave you. And I'm your cousin and you came to me to visit with me. And the Holy Spirit is telling me that God is going to do what he said he's going to do for you. Now, although Mary is to be venerated as the chosen of God, we need to know that God does not choose the people that we think he will choose. We think in the world, in our social setting, we think that people with a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of position are people who have some favor with God. That was a problem in the book of Job. Job's friends thought that riches was a favor from God. But God said that they don't know what they're talking about. Now, Mary, this poor virgin, is being elevated in the largest church, the church with the most members in the world today, is called Redemptrix. Prayed to, elevated, candles lit at her feet, all of that. I know I'm being repetitive, but I want to let you know what's going on. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46, you have the song of Mary, or the Magnificat. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. See that? Now, if Mary is to be elevated to the position of co-redemptrix with Christ, why does she need a Savior? People ought to read the Bible. My soul, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She was blessed. What woman is there in the world who would not like to have been so blessed? Hallelujah. The confirmation that God gave to Mary should be an encouragement to us. And I'll tell you this again, beloved. If you start to read the Bible and you start to put into practice what is in the Bible, you will find that God will richly bless you. In the last 2 years, I've had occasion to counsel with families who were having marital problems. And one of the things that I counsel them to do is to start to pray together every day. Set aside a little time, look into God's Word together, and pray together every day. And if you'll do that, God will bless you. The ones who have followed that advice are getting along just fine. The ones who shun that advice are still having problems. But it's so simple. God says the family that prays together stays together. Hallelujah. How much does it cost you to pray together? How much does it cost you to read the scriptures together? It don't cost you anything. And if you're married and having problems in your marriage, this is the thing you should do. Start to pray together. It doesn't take that much time. 10 minutes. If you can't afford 10 minutes, you're too busy. If you can't set aside 10 minutes in the day for your family to bow before God and pray and ask God to bless your family, you're too busy. So what you need to do is adjust your time so that you can do that, so that you can start to pray together with your children. Pray together with your children. And beloved, God will confirm his word to you. God will show you that he can make things all right in your relationship, no matter how messed up they are. Nothing is impossible with God. That's what the angel told Mary at the Annunciation. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. And God can confirm your faith. Now, if you may be messed up in the world, you may be having all kinds of problems in the world, but if you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to change your attitude. He's going to change your attitude about your problems. And it's not that he's going to solve the problem right away, but you're going to start to think about it a little bit differently. I told a woman a couple of weeks ago, came to me about all of the turmoil that she was going through after she had committed her life to Christ. And I said to her, what is God teaching you through these problems? You see, she wasn't looking at that. She was just looking at the problem. God has given me all these problems. I'm just weighted down with these problems. And I'm saying to her, Almighty God is sovereign, and God does not allow anything to happen to you that's not ultimately for your good. And God will confirm his word in your life, not just in Mary's life. He will confirm his word in your life if you humbly submit to him in obedience. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father and our God, we do thank you for your word of truth, and we pray that it would be pleasing in your sight to cause your people to start to see your word for what it is, absolute truth, and to know that you are able, more than able, to confirm your word in the lives of all who put their faith and trust in you. So help us, Lord, to do that, and help us to rejoice in the knowledge that we do have a Savior who is Almighty God, Emmanuel. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.